We're going to pray and we're going to open the word. So, dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you are God. You are God. And so my soul magnifies your name. My soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions. And Lord, my mind has been all over this week. My emotions, well, let's not talk about those. And willfully choosing to do something, Lord, is sometimes the toughest thing, and yet we know it's the right thing. And so we ask this morning, Lord, that you would help us to connect with you, to hear from you. Would you open our hearts? Would you maybe lift off those blinders that we've so willingly allowed to cover our hearts? And Lord, help us to hear your message this morning. We give you this time in your name. Amen. If you missed our kids program last Sunday with the video, we are showing it again on Christmas Eve. So that's an opportunity for you to invite your neighbors to say, hey, come out to Christmas Eve service. They're going to show a really cool video with our kids. It's super funny and it tells the Christmas story. So if you missed it, then show up Christmas Eve, 7 o'clock on the 24th. That being said, we are currently in our second week of our Advent series called Fear Not. And last week, or 2 weeks ago now, we looked specifically at the topic of fear of what God might be asking me to do. And we looked at Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how she overcame that fear. And basically, she did it this way. Remembering what God has done in the past gives us courage to believe that he will be faithful in the future. So she was able to say yes to God choosing her to birth Christ because she knew who God was. That he had been faithful in the past and she knew that he would then be faithful in the future. And then we celebrated communion, signifying the death and resurrection of Christ and how he had come to set us free from sin and darkness and make us right with God. So when we remember who God is and what he has done in the past, and we believe that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we can actually overcome what he might be asking, overcome the fear of what he might be asking us to do, because he's faithful. And he's promised never to leave us and never forsake us. He told us that he would always be with us. So do not fear. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then next week, we're going to be looking at the shepherds and how the angels appeared to them and said two words. What do you think those two words are? There we go. And then today, we are looking at the angel and how he appeared to Joseph in a dream and said two words, which are, there we go. So today in particular, we are looking at the fear of what people think about me. And fear, and I defined this 2 weeks ago, fear for our purposes is forgetting everything Almighty God represents. All right? Fear. Forgetting everything Almighty God represents. And it was really cool this morning as I have one of those flip calendars on my, where I eat breakfast. And so every day there's a verse or an encouraging word about the love of God. And this morning, it was so cool. It was like, remember today that God is your counselor, that he is your guide, that he will help you, he will provide for you, he will sustain you. And it reminded me, oh yeah, God is all of those things. And when we remember all those things that God is, then we can overcome fear. And fear won't overcome us. Because fear has this way of overcoming and overtaking us when we forget everything that God Almighty or Almighty God represents. It can literally like stop you from doing anything. And when we think about the topic today, fear of what other people think about us, that is so true. So true. And it can be anything from, well, how short do I cut my hair? What color do I color it? Because somebody's going to say something about it. Or you post something on Instagram and like 25 minutes has gone by and nobody's liked it. And you're like, is my thing not working? Like, did I not post it? So you try to repost it and still nobody's liking it. And you get so upset because you're like, oh, I must have done something to offend somebody. And And it just goes on. You buy a new car and everybody has a comment about the car, right? If you're in Barrie and you buy a Ford, then it's like, if you're in like Oshawa and you don't buy GM, that's bad news. In the little town that I came from, we had a Ford dealership. And so everybody drove Fords. You come in with something other than a Ford, they're like, what's wrong with you? Like, everybody has a comment about everything. And so it can literally stop you in your tracks from doing anything if you allow their words to go into your heart. When we allow people's words or opinions of us to overshadow what God thinks of us, then we literally can get stopped and we can't move forward. Because when we allow what people think about us to go into our head, then that takes up the mental real estate in our brains. And all of a sudden we start saying, well, I'm going to do this to please them. And I'm going to do this to please them. And I'm going to cut my hair this way. Or I'm going to wear this shirt this way. And when I go to work, then I'm going to talk to this person and this person. But not that person, because that person doesn't, I don't really care about. But those two people, I really value what they think about me, so I'm going to make sure that I pay attention to them. I remember being in high school, and we were all in high school, and there was that person that you really wanted to impress for no other reason than they were the popular kid, and if you made them happy, then you were, like, in. And I remember this girl. She was just really popular and really pretty, and I'm like, if I can be her friend, then I'm set. And she would just come into biology class, and I remember just thinking every time, I really hope she just says hi to me. I really hope she, you know, engages in conversation with me. I hope what I'm wearing is okay. Because she had that way of looking down her nose and just like, oh, you're wearing that today. And like you melted, I melted on the inside. Because all I really wanted was for her to like affirm me, right? To invite me into her group of friends. And so I tried so hard just to please her rather than focusing on, well, what is God asking me to do? Fear of man or fear of people stops us in our tracks and prevents us from doing what God has called us to. And so today we are specifically going to look at the story of Joseph, because God gives him this invitation. He actually gives Joseph pretty much the same invitation that he gave Mary 2 weeks ago. He invited Mary to join him in the birth of Christ. And here he is giving Joseph the same invitation. Mary dealt with, how is this even possible? Joseph's dealing with, well, what are people going to say about this? And that's often the problem. When God calls us to do great things, we think of two things that prevent us. Fear of, is this even possible? God, what are you calling me to? What am I going to have to let go of? And secondly, what are other people going to think about this? What are other people going to think about this? And so he was betrothed or engaged to Mary, and it's totally different than what it is today. Like today, you get engaged, you set the date, you start planning, you do some counseling, and at any point, you can send a text, hey, I'm not feeling it, we're done. Because it's so true. And you're like, no. I'm like, it happens. Like, people are that mean. They're like, I'm done. And they send it off. Or, this is my favorite, they tell their best friends, or could you tell so-and-so that they really hurt me and I'm just done? Or it could happen over coffee. We're just done. And then literally they're done and they go their separate ways. 2,000 years ago, not quite the same way. When you got betrothed, I love that word, betrothed, or engaged, it was a legal binding agreement. To the point of only two things could actually end the agreement. One, divorce. Second, death. All right, so if your fiancé died, you would actually be considered a widow or a widower. Like, that's how serious engagement was. So not that they had consummated anything yet. They had just made the agreement that they were going to be married, and that was a special thing, and it was like you were married without the perks. All right? You all know what that is. Just saying. So that being said, we're going to jump right into the story. So Joseph is engaged to Mary. It's a serious thing. And then I want to say, then this happens. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Well, let's think about how that conversation went down. Right? Like, that's, try sending that in a text message. Honey, just wanted to let you know, I had a visitation from an angel, and I'm pregnant through the Holy Spirit, right? How do you even write that clearly in a text message or over coffee? Or did, you know, how did Joseph even find out about this? Like, was there some gossip around the well? Like, Mary's put on some weight. What do you think the problem is? Oh, yeah, but normally she's quite fit, so could she possibly be pregnant? Well, did you see that guy? He was really checking her out. And she had a conversation with him. Do you think they got, like, gossip happens. So we're not really told how Joseph found out. We're just told he found out. And can you imagine all of the thoughts that are going through his head? Right? Mary? This doesn't sound like Mary. I thought she was a righteous woman. How could she possibly be pregnant? Well, this is just going to mess up everything. What is my family going to think? What are my friends going to think? I'm trying to start a business here. I'm a carpenter. And this is not going to be good for business. We're going to have to move. And I don't really have money for moving expenses, but we have to go and we have to start a new life where nobody knows us. Or wait, no, we don't have to do that. I could divorce her. The law says I could because she's been unfaithful to me, so I could divorce her. Do you see all these things that are going on inside of Joseph's head? Let's keep reading. It says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly, which was his full right. But obviously he loves her because he was willing to do it quietly. Because he could have just shouted it out and said, Mary's pregnant and it's not my son or not my child. Do with her as you want. And if that was the case, then that was basically, he was opening up the door for public stoning. That was the result of becoming, for having sexual encounters outside of wedlock. Stoning. Which means death. Alright? So they would stone a person until they died. But he didn't. So obviously he loves her, but his fear of what other people think is greater than his love for her. He's more concerned about how people are going to perceive this than fulfilling his connection, his engagement to Mary. The fear of people will prevent us from doing a lot of things that we should be doing. Okay, so how does the story keep going? But after he had considered this, so after he had considered divorcing her, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Wow. She's not lying. When Mary said that the baby conceived in her was from the Holy Spirit, she really wasn't lying. She was telling the truth. And she's certainly not crazy. Because an angel just showed up and told me the exact same thing that she said he told her. But what is everybody going to think? What is everybody going to think? So all of a sudden, you can see this wrestle going on inside of him, right? If you follow God, you will be confronted with opportunities to obey God or to do something easier to win the approval of people. This wrestle is going on inside of him. Okay, Mary isn't a liar, and I do love her. I should probably go through this. But what will people think? Because people are smart. They'll do the math. And they'll figure out that she actually got pregnant before we got married. So that's not good. But God said this was the Savior. He was fulfilling prophecy. But are people really going to believe that? Are people really going to believe that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, caused this child to be born in my wife? And it wasn't me. Are people really going to buy that? See, we buy it because we know the story. But imagine being in that situation. Because he doesn't know how the story is going to play out. That's partly why there's so much fear surrounding this, right? Because we often get afraid because we don't know how things are going to work out. Our job is to walk in obedience. God's job is to work out the outcome. So he's wrestling. Okay, Mary isn't telling a lie. She's being truthful. God is setting up his kingdom. This is the child that he prophesied was coming. And he's inviting me to be a part of it. Wow. He's inviting me to be a part of it. What about my family? Are they really going to believe this? What about my friends? What about the community that we have here at Nazareth? Are they really going to believe that this is the Son of God? And so he's wrestling. And we've all been there. We've all done the wrestle inside of us. When I left my previous church, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God had wanted me to go. Like, very clear. It might as well have been an angel who was telling me. That's how clear it was. And so when I announced it to my church, which was very difficult to do, people came up to me afterwards and they said, well, what are your plans? And I'm like, I don't know. I just know I'm supposed to leave. And they gave me this look as if to say, what do you mean you don't know what you're going to do? Is this really a wise choice? Because a friend of mine, a fellow pastor, said you should never leave one position until you have an opening in another position. And I'm like, I think then you're relying on yourself then, not God, to provide. And so I was of that mindset that if God tells you to do something, then you should just do it. So I was just going, and people kept giving me that look to say, well, how are you going to look after yourself? I had more conversations with how am I going to look after myself than, isn't this exciting what God has in store? It was like they had taken God out of the entire thing and just wondering how I was going to look after myself. And I said three things. Well, God knows I live in Canada, so I need a house, some place to live. I need a car because I live in the middle of nowhere. I need something to eat. All right? God can take care of that. And he did. But the number of people that would look at me and go, how are you going to look after yourself? And it's true. We make choices based on what are other people going to think. How are they going to perceive this? So the wrestle goes on. If I do this, what will people think? A friend of mine took his Bible to work and he would read it in the staff area. And I thought, ooh, that's really bold. So I'm not really concerned about what other people think. And as a result, a woman came up to him one day and said, I see you're reading this Bible. I have some questions. And he turned to her and he's like, what are your questions? And he ended up having a Bible study with her because he wasn't afraid of what other people think. I remember standing around with some people and they said, we want to go see this movie. Do you want to come? And I'm like, violence and taking the Lord's name in vain. Nope. And they're like, yeah, but it's only once or twice. I'm like, but it's still the Lord's name in vain. I value the Lord's name more than I value going and seeing a movie and being entertained for an hour and a half and then having to repent afterwards for all the visions, the images that I saw. I'd rather just say no. And people look at you funny. And then they stop inviting you to go to them with movies. Or they come and they say, do you want to go to a movie? This one's okay. And you're like, okay. And you sit beside them and then something comes on the screen and they're like, oh, I had no idea that was in there. I'm so sorry. I like those conversations because at least they're sensitive, right? But so often we just go along. We go along because we want to be accepted. And that's one of the biggest reasons why we're afraid of people, because we have this longing inside of us to be accepted, to belong to a group of people. We're wired that way. We're wired for community. And we make choices based on being accepted rather than based on what is right. That's what that last line says, right? Opportunities to obey God or to do something easier that will win the approval of people. This is Joseph wrestling. And so the moment of truth is this. If you're not ready to be criticized for your obedience to God, you're not ready to be used by God. If you're not ready to be criticized for your obedience to God, then you're not ready to be used by God. If you're too concerned with what other people are going to say to you, then God's actually not going to give you anything to do. Because you're not going to do it anyways, because you're more concerned about what other people think. That's tough. Because I know I've been there. We were on vacation in Amsterdam last year on our way back from Ghana. We took a few days, and I was with my roommate, and she felt very strongly that she was to buy groceries and give them to someone. And I'm like, she's nuts. This vacation, we shouldn't be telling people about Jesus on vacation. Yes, the pastor said that, all right? The pastor said that, and I have since repented. So here she is, we're on vacation, walking around Amsterdam, and she's carrying this bag of groceries waiting for God to tell her who to give it to. And I'm like, I can't believe this. Going into stores, groceries. We're getting something to eat, groceries. Walking down places, groceries. And I'm thinking, Lord, would you just hurry up and tell her who to give those groceries to? We end up getting caught up in the red light district. Don't ask me how we got there. All right. It gets kind of convoluted over there. So I'm like, Carrie, I don't think we're supposed to be here. And we're like, okay, we'll just stay by the river and we won't go over there. We end up walking past this guy and she looked at him and she said, are you okay? And he's like, I'm hungry. And she handed him that bag of groceries. And she said, God told me 2 days ago to buy this bag for you. God loves you, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life. Would you let me pray for you? And I'm sitting there with, like, egg all over my face, feeling like garbage. Because I was too concerned about people I didn't even know. What would they think about these two foreigners carrying a bag of groceries everywhere? And yet she was able to make contact with a man who desperately needed to hear that God loves him. Because we're too afraid of what people will say, so God doesn't actually ask us to do anything. And you might be feeling fairly flat in your life with Jesus right now, but you need to be asking yourself this question. Am I more concerned about being criticized by people than I am about stepping out and doing something for Jesus? Because if you are, you're going to stay flat. So, what is Joseph's response? So he's wrestling, he's thinking through all of this. How does he respond? Well, Matthew says it this way. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. So how did he do this? How did he get to this point that this was the decision that he made? So he did all of the wrestling. And I want to say these two things. First, Joseph knew the Lord. It says he was a righteous man. So he knew the Lord. He knew who God was. Secondly, Joseph knew when the Lord was speaking. So he knew it was an angel. He knew it was an angel of the Lord. So he spent time with God. And thirdly, he remembered who God was. Just as Mary remembered that if God has done something in the past and he had protected and kept her safe, provided for all of her needs. So she believed that he would do the same in the future. Joseph claimed the same truth. Reads like this. If we want to overcome what other people think of us, remembering what God has done in the past gives us courage to believe he will be faithful in the future. Because extraordinary acts of God often starts with ordinary acts of obedience. Henry, we're not going to do the video. I'm going to keep going, so don't worry about it. Did you read that last part? Extraordinary acts of God often start with ordinary acts of obedience. I don't know what the name of the man is who shared the gospel with Billy Graham. Billy Graham changed the world. I couldn't tell you what my great-grandmother looked like, but she prayed for us every wash day. And I think every single one of her descendants is serving the Lord because she obeyed. So I don't know what God is asking you to obey today, but some of you are desperately afraid of saying yes. Maybe God is calling you to actually sell your house and downsize so that you actually have funds to support what it is that He's asking you to support. Or maybe He's asking you to get involved in a ministry, and your friends at work will say, well, what do you want to go and do that for? You're more concerned about what your friends or your family is going to say. Or maybe you're afraid that they're going to say, well, you really can't do that. But you know God is calling you to do it. But you're so concerned about what other people think that you're actually saying no to the move of the Holy Spirit in your life. Thessalonians says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. If God is tapping you on your shoulder to say, hey, you need to do that, and you're like, yeah, but what are they going to say? Then you're more concerned about people than you are about serving the Lord. I can't do anything about that. That's a repentance thing. Repentance goes something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm more concerned about other people than I am about you, and that is wrong. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know where it started, but I know it's wrong, and I know I need to serve you. Would you help me move in that? That's what repentance looks like. And the cool thing about Jesus is that He woos us into where we need to go. Because I don't know about you, but I want the more that Jesus offers us. But we shut down the more by saying yes to other people. And when we say yes to other people, then we get more concerned about what they think, and then we are continually trying to please them than we are trying to please God. And nothing happens. So what's our response in all of this? How do we respond to this? Well, we need to be asking ourselves some questions. Am I more concerned with what other people think about me than I am about what God thinks about me? And if you said yes to that, then you need to ask yourself, am I okay with that? Am I really okay with putting people first in my life rather than God? Or maybe God has laid something on your heart, and you know that, and you're wrestling, and you're trying to figure out, am I going to say yes? Am I going to say yes? The question is, what's preventing you from saying yes? Is it like Mary? How are you actually going to do this? So like you just can't believe the bigness of the dream God has given you, and so you just see it as impossible and you don't go there? Or is it more like Joseph, where it's like, I'm too concerned, or I'm overly concerned with what other people are going to think about me? There's this verse in Proverbs. It goes like this: fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. When we start fearing man or fearing people, it is a dangerous trap. It just draws deeper and deeper in to the point that we can't even hear the Holy Spirit anymore because we're too busy listening to what other people have to say. So I don't know where you're at this morning. But we do this thing at the end of every service where I want to say it's time to make it right with God. Or what is your response? And so we're going to sing. The prayer rails are available. But really, it's a time for you to pause and be quiet. And if you're tempted to get up and leave at this point, I'm going to say, don't do it. And you're just like, shoot, she called me out. If you're, because things are getting uncomfortable in your spirit, good. Good. Because they need to get uncomfortable in your spirit so you can hear what God is saying. Hold on. Hold on. Don't be tempted by the coffee. Don't be tempted by the bathroom. You'd be surprised how many times bladders go off when this sort of thing gets said. All right? God can hold the pee. And you're like, she just said pee in service. I did. But if God is touching your heart right now to say, hey, you're more concerned about people, let's get this right today, then get it right. Don't wait. Don't get distracted by the people around you. If God is telling you to come forward and you're like, yeah, but what about my... Come forward. If you've never made a choice to serve God, and what's really interesting is I thought there was a man in our church that served the Lord. Come to find out, he didn't. And he had gone to our church for many, many, many years. If that's you today, and you feel God tugging on your heart to come forward, to make it right, to make it public, to say, I'm really going to serve God, I'm tired with it just being, you know, a show, then you come forward too. Because God has amazing things that he wants to do in this church body, but we need people to say yes. We have young families that need a small group leader. We need someone to say yes. We have kids that need a Sunday school teacher. We need people to say yes. If we're really serious about reaching this community, we need people to say yes instead of being afraid of what other people are going to think or afraid of what can I do. Like, do I really have what it takes? And the answer, if God is calling you, then he's going to fill you up and he's going to equip you to do it. That's my rant. But God is faithful. He's been faithful in the past. He's going to be faithful in the future. The prayer rails are available to actually get your junk right with the Lord. And you're like, I don't have any junk today. I just want to go forward and pray for my friend. Come forward, okay? Come forward and pray for your friend. Maybe there's a hurt in your heart. Maybe you're struggling with someone. We need to remember the Kirk family because Wayne's brother died this week. So there's people that are grieving. If you're grieving and you just need your church family to come forward, then come forward. If you have a hurt in your marriage and you just need some prayer, then you come forward. I don't know what it is this morning, but don't be afraid to get your junk right with God or to seek help from other people. All right? It says, fear not. I love the verse for next week. It says, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the King. And that's who we're worshiping this morning, Christ the King. So we're going to sing. The prayer rails are available. When we're finished singing, Beth's going to come forward and pray. And if you need to talk to someone after the service, Pastor Mike's available, Pastor Henry's available, Pastor Phyllis is available. Gail Kerr is at the back. She'll pray with you too. There's a whole bunch of prayer people at the back. Go hook up with one of those. Say, pray for me. And they will. All right? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I've just said a whole lot of words and I ask that you'd sort it out. But as those words are flowing out, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would yank those words down into the people's hearts that needs to hear them. And that you would give them the courage to respond. Lord, I'm tired of us being bound by the fear of man. We need this broken in our lives so that we can actually experience all that you have for us. Because people need to come to know you. There's a community that needs to come to know you. There's that coworker that needs to come to know you. And we're so afraid of what other people are going to say that we keep your good news locked up inside of us. Lord, forgive us for doing that. Help us to be strong and courageous, not terrified or discouraged, believing, fully believing that you are with us wherever we go. And that if you provide an opportunity, then you're going to provide us to walk through it and to complete it because that's who you are. Would you remind us that fear is forgetting everything Almighty God represents? And Holy Spirit, would you come now, touch our hearts. Help us not to be afraid. And help us to embrace everything that you are. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.